Sir, I want some more.
What? 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 Ask for more?
Whether you're Oliver Twist or David Copperfield, it's a day of great expectations for fans of Charles Dickens. Today marks the 200th birthday of the writer who gave us A Tale of Two Cities, A Christmas Carol, many, many other novel titles. He really popularized the novel for an entire generation and created the stage for the entire literary world that we live in today, one that might be fading. Dr. Jan Melissa Schramm, lecturer in Victorian literature at Trinity Hall of Cambridge University, joins us. Welcome to the program, Doctor.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be speaking to you this morning, and Dickens would have loved the fact that American audiences were commemorating him today.
Dickens was a brilliant writer. He was a passionate sort of missionary for the poor. I mean, he was a real crusader, and he was also one of the first media celebrities of all time. Explain.
Well, indeed, you're absolutely right to say that part of the power of Dickens's fiction, the ways in which he still speaks to us as relevant today, is because he creates these wonderfully memorable characters and depicts them for us in a vivid, distinctive prose style. But he wanted to ally storytelling to political change. You know, England in the 1840s, 50s and 60s was riven with class conflict. It was a time of austerity and hunger. And Dickens saw art as something very powerful, a way of bringing people together. It was culturally and politically inclusive. And you're absolutely right to say that he saw fiction as a very powerful vehicle for political and moral reform.
And how did people look up to him as really a celebrity? I mean, at a certain point, people hung on virtually every word. And we should remind people that his novels were written in installments and published in serialized form in almost all cases.
You're absolutely right. And that, in a sense, created a tremendous national appetite. It really was a national event when a serial installment of Dickens's work was published. And he also later in his career goes on extensive public reading tours around the world as well as around Britain, and very much created a cult of celebrity. He enjoyed his popularity, but again, he saw it as serving a moral purpose, that art should then reach as wide an audience as possible, and that people from all backgrounds should be able to access literary narrative, either as a performance or in written form.
And the cultural impact is as though it's Harry Potter, but by the chapter, not by the volume, and about something that deeply criticizes the existing political order. Is that fair?
Indeed. I mean, Dickens was very, very combative and very, very knowledgeable in his criticism of legal and political and theological discourses if he felt that they were being in any way unfair to less advantaged members of society. And his fiction combines entertainment with really biting satire and a clear picture, perhaps, of what needs changing. It's extraordinary that he was able to combine short, brief installments with visions for the longer novel, because at the same time as being short installments, they are some of the longest novels that were published in the 19th century. Bleak House, for example, a great loose baggy monster of a novel.
And indeed, one of the, you know, very, very large books there on the table and in the library. Before we go, is it true that in the manuscripts he barely made corrections?
He wrote very, very quickly and on the whole very accurately, but nevertheless, he did revise and correct his work in certain places.
Well,
he was also careful.
That's reassuring. Dr. Yeah. Jan Melissa Schramm wishing Charles Dickens a happy 200th birthday. She's a lecturer in Victorian literature at Trinity Hall of Cambridge University. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.